Turn with me, if you would, this morning for a short time to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we wish to come back to the portion of God's Word that we have at the beginning of that chapter, and particularly to the words in verse 5 where Jesus asked the disciples, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven." Particularly the words of the Lord, "How many loaves have ye?" How many loaves have ye? This past week, the home mission worker has been with us and has gone out into the streets and the homes, along with others, around Leith, bringing the gospel and bringing the message of the Word of God and of the Bible to these homes, bringing the claims of Jesus Christ before the people of Leith. I thought this morning that I would come to, as we come and look at Mark's Gospel, that I would give simply a very simple Bible message this morning, following on from that. You go into the universities of this country, Oxford, Cambridge, coming into Scotland, to Edinburgh, Glasgow, St Andrews, these great universities of our nation. They will contemplate very deep philosophical questions. Questions that have perhaps been considered by Aristotle, Plato, men of wonderful learning, and they will contemplate deep philosophical questions. Many of these questions there is no answer to. They pose questions, they go around in circles, and at the end of the day, there is no answer to these questions. But they are deep, deep philosophical questions that are posed by the greatest philosophical minds the world has known. And yet not one of these questions can compare to one simple question that is put before us in the Bible. And that is, how is a man to be right with God? That's the deepest, most fundamental question of all. And no matter how many questions they go round in circles in these great universities, one simple question that the Bible poses is the question that they don't want to confront. And it's the one most simple and yet most profound question of all: how can a man be right with God? In fact, one very simple question from the Lord Jesus Christ, one very simple question coming from his lips, has more meaning than all the questions of philosophers put together. Even a question like this: how many loaves do you have? That's a very simple question, a very straightforward question that the Lord asked these disciples. And if you look at what flows out of that question, Jesus appears to know their need before they even know the need of the people. He identifies the need before the people even seem to be identifying it. And when you see what follows on from the response they give, they've only got seven loaves. They've only got seven small loaves and a few small fishes. That's all they've got. there's not sufficient there to feed 4,000. Jesus, by this one question, has identified the need, the pressing need, that this people have. He calls the disciples to him. They don't come to him. The people don't come to him. He calls them to him. And he draws attention to the pressing need that they have at that time. And is that what, not what the Bible and what the words of our Lord Jesus Christ do for us today? It brings before us the greatest need that we have of all. To be right with God. It brings before us the greatest need of the soul. For the soul to be alive spiritually and to be fed on the bread of life. Jesus identifies their greatest need. And he says to them, how many loaves do you have? If you're asked that question today, what would your answer be? If Jesus today, from his word, asks you the question, how many loaves do you have? If he asks that question of the people of this city, Edinburgh and Leith, how much bread do you have? What's the answer that would be given? Would it be that, well, we've only got 7 loaves. And we've only got a few small fishes to feed so many, 4,000. That wouldn't be the answer, would it? You go down Leith Walk and you see mini supermarkets. You see a supermarket. You see shops almost in every corner. You go into these shops and you see bread and rolls and food in packages, in tins. You see frozen food. You see meat counters, fish counters, vegetable counters. Sometimes you've got a whole section just in vegetables alone. Can we say today that in Edinburgh, in Leith, in this city, that there is any want of food? The answer is no. Not only do you have supermarkets, you have restaurants, Italian, Asian, British, Spanish, every single kind of restaurant you want. Jesus asks us the question today, how many loaves do you have? You only maybe need to go to your own kitchen, open the cupboard, open the fridge, and there is food galore. And my friend, how many people in this city bless God for what he has provided for us physically, in temporal food? How many people, when they sit down to a meal, bow their head and thank the Lord for the abundance that there is on our plates today and every day? As a nation, we neglect. No wonder we see the mercy and the long suffering of the Lord. Such goodness manifested to us every day when you sit down at a meal, and how many people truly thank God for the bread that they have. Is that not what Jesus said? And we've said this before. Is that not what Jesus said when he taught his disciples to pray? Twice in the New Testament, we discover, he says, this is how you pray. Give us this day our daily bread. On the one occasion, it's an aorist, which really means, give us this today. And let us enjoy our bread today. And the other occasion when it is recorded, it's a continuous tense. It means, give us the bread today, but also give us it tomorrow, and the next day, and every single day. You see, Jesus was teaching us in prayer how to depend upon the Lord for everything that we receive. When Jesus had these disciples before him, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. Well, he says, bring them to me. And he blessed them. Do you know, it is far better to have a meagre supply that's blessed by the Lord than to have an absolute abundance and to have no blessing of the Lord. Far better to be in the wilderness and in a desert place and the words of the Lord saying, how many loaves do you have? Well, we've only got seven and a few small fishes. Far better to be out in that desert there than to be feasting with Herod and Herodias in the palace. Far better, my friend, today. This country, our forefathers were far better off when they went and they fed from day to day, but yet they sought the blessing of the Lord on what they had, than our own day and generation that has more than it ever needs, and yet it never seeks the blessing of the Lord on it. Far better for us today, my friend, to have nothing and to have the Lord with us, than to have everything and to have nothing of his presence. Far better for us to have God's and Christ's blessing on the meagre supplies that fulfil our needs, not our greeds. Very often, I remember a minister, an old minister, saying, not from the pulpit, but he commented way back about 30 years ago, when our country began and people began to turn aside from the gospel and from attendance at the means of grace. You know, he says to me, he says, prosperity is so often no friend of the gospel. How many loaves do you have? I've got more than enough and I don't need the Lord. My friend, what a fearful day we've come into when that's the attitude of so many. I've got everything and I don't need the blessing of anybody. Jesus asks this question of the disciples, how many loaves do you have? Well, bring them to me and I'll bless them. I'll bless the meagre rations that you have. And what a blessing he gave to them. What a blessing. What should it be then, that as we today receive of the goodness of God every day, it ought to humble us. My friend, every time you sit down to a meal and ask yourself this question, how many loaves do I have? And it ought to humble you in the presence of the Lord. And the goodness of God to you ought to bring repentance. The goodness of the Lord ought to lead us to repentance. And every time you sit to a meal and you bow your head and you thank the Lord for every meal that you have, it ought to be the means of bringing you to praise and magnify the name of the Lord. How many loaves do you have? But of course, that's just fulfilling the physical needs, isn't it? The Lord providing for us in our physical needs. But there is also, is there not, the soul and the spiritual needs. Today, my friend, how many loaves do you have to satisfy the longing soul? You remember when Isaiah spoke about the cross of Christ, the suffering servant, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. He speaks there about the coming Messiah, how he would suffer, how he would die, how he would make his grave with the wicked, but yet he would rise, and he would delight in the results of that. And in Isaiah 55 he says, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Why labour for that bread which never satisfies?" How does he begin that? Well, he begins it by saying, "Ho." It's as though he lifts his voice up. He wants everybody to hear this. "Ho." Everyone, indiscriminately, will hear the voice of this man. You know, in the days in which Isaiah is preaching, you can almost see what he is seeing, because in these days, at the marketplace, even at the temple, there would be those who would go about with great buckets of water and a ladle, and they would cry out, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to me." And when he raised up his voice, "Ho," it was that everybody would hear. Indiscriminately, all would hear. And my friend, is that not the call of the gospel? It's indiscriminately. You can go into the streets of Leith. You can go into the homes of those round about. And you can cry, "Ho! Ho! Everyone." Why? Because this, every single one, whether they know it or not, every single one is dead in trespasses and in sins, and needs to know, "Ho, everyone." What is the preparation for drinking this water? It's that they thirst. My friend, if you don't have a thirst, you'll not drink. If you don't have a thirst today for the gospel, for the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't drink. When that man would go about shouting, "Ho, everyone," everybody's not going to come, are they? It's everyone that thirsts. That's the true preparation. Why will men in Leith and women in Leith and boys and girls in this city and in this country, why will they not come to the gospel? Because they're self-satisfied. They have no thirst. Their thirst is satisfied with their own self-righteousness, their own self-belief, and they have no desire for the water of life or the bread of life. My friend, do you have a thirst this morning for the things of God? There are people out there, I'm sure, that will have said to the home mission worker this past week, "Oh, I believe in God. I admire what you're doing." But do they have a real, true, God-given thirst? Have they really got a true desire to be right with God? Do we have that desire today? Well then, ho everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Come. Without money, come. You see, you can't purchase. You cannot purchase this water. You cannot buy this bread. You must come, and you must freely drink, and you must freely eat of him who is the bread of life. Isaiah saw that there were those who labored. How many people labor today to be right with God? They do this work, they do that work, they labor, they do everything. Isaiah says it doesn't work. Why are you laboring for that bread that doesn't satisfy? How many loaves today do you have? How many loaves are you laboring for? These loaves will never satisfy, says Isaiah. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Rather, he says, come ye. Come ye. And drink of the water of life freely. Partake of him who is the bread of life freely. Now that's water indeed. And that's bread that satisfies indeed. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Drink, eat freely. Without money and without price. And as you come, what do you discover with this bread? Let the soul delight itself in fatness. The soul that comes to Jesus Christ delights itself in fatness. You know, when you go to Isaiah, he doesn't just mention bread, does he? Some people ask the question, what does it mean there, the water of life, the waters, come ye to the waters? What does it mean? Well, some people say it's the gospel. Some people say it's the Holy Spirit being poured out, and Christ himself refers to the Holy Spirit being poured out. And John Calvin, for example, mentions both these issues. One person will say it's the gospel. Someone else might say it's the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't disagree with any of them, but he says, they're both wrong. What does it mean, he says? Well, notice he says, it says, come ye to the waters. It means everything that you ever need for your soul to be saved and to be satisfied. It doesn't matter whether it's the grace of the gospel, whether it's the Holy Spirit. He says, no matter what you need, come to the waters. When you come to Jesus Christ, you have everything. And he refers there, come and drink water. Come and drink wine. Come and drink milk. All three of them are mentioned there in Isaiah. Water, wine, milk, bread. Everything you need is to be found here. My friend, how many loaves do you have today? Are you laboring for that bread that perishes and that satisfies not? Or have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and found that there is a fountain of living water, that there is there water to quench the thirsty soul, wine to rejoice the heart, milk, that you may be built up, bread that your hunger is satisfied. Everything you need. How many loaves do you have today? Well, look at what happened here. With the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ on these 7 loaves, 4,000 were fed. And there were baskets of fragments left over. Every single person that was there, tell them to sit down in the ground, he says. Now, he says, you go out. And he took the bread and he blessed it, and he took the small fish and he blessed them, and out it went. We said last week, where did it come from? Did anybody actually stop to say how this happened? They didn't. They just went, and every time they came back for more, there it was. Fresh bread for them to eat. And fish to satisfy their hunger. And that's the way the gospel is, isn't it? People ask you, and I've mentioned this before, people will say to you, why do you only have the Lord's Supper twice a year? Why do you only break bread twice a year? And you have to say to them, my friend, we break bread twice every Lord's Day in the preaching of the word. The bread is broken through the preaching of the word. The Lord's Supper attached and accompanying that preaching gives us a visual idea of what it is to feed upon Jesus Christ. But it's only a sign. It's only a sign. Because those who sit at that table and partake of the bread and drink of the wine, it's that they are led to feed spiritually by faith upon Jesus Christ, the Lord. My friend, have you ever sat in God's house? Maybe you sat in God's house year after year after year. Maybe you sat in God's house for many years, but you've never tasted and seen that God is gracious and that Jesus Christ satisfies the longing soul. Have you ever been brought to have that thirst, desire? Lord, how I desire, truly desire, to be right with thee. Lord, give me that bread that never perishes. He fed the 4,000 out of these few fishes and these few loaves. He fed them and they were all fully satisfied. Isaiah says, come and buy. What is it to come and buy? Well, first of all, it's to desire it, isn't it? You're going to buy something, you need it, you desire it, and you go out and you buy it. Once you've bought it, it's yours. My friend, those who desire and thirst after righteousness, those who truly desire, who come and who knock, they discover that when they come, Christ is theirs. Christ is yours. He belongs to you and you belong to him and you are one with him. And he feeds you spiritually every bit as much as he fed the 4,000 that were there that day. They fed upon physical bread. Now, he says, I will feed you, but I feed you with myself. I give myself to you. I am yours. You are mine. And you're one by the indwelling of the Spirit in you, by his word being blessed to your soul. Christ becomes the substance of your faith. Faith itself makes Christ so real to your soul. that you feed upon him. How many loaves do you have today, my friend? How many loaves do you have? What are you feeding upon spiritually? Are you labouring for that bread that perishes? Or have you come to the bread of life and you discover that every day it is fresh every morning? That bread is fresh to you every single day. My friend, have you ever come to God's word? I'm sure every believer does. You ever come in the morning and you've read your Bible and you see something that excites and enlivens your soul, and you say, I've never seen that before, and the Lord blesses his salvation and his word to your soul, and you are, it's as though your soul feeds on that for the day. And then you come in the evening and he has another fresh thing for you. And the next day he's got another fresh meal for you. Another loaf. He's not asking you to go and cut off the loaf from the day before. He is the bread himself, and every day he's the bread that perishes not. You desire it, you own it, and you use it. That's what happens when you get bread, isn't it? You don't just get bread to throw it there and leave it aside. You buy it, you desire it, you own it, and then you use it. You feed spiritually upon the bread of life. What fills your soul today, my friend? You're sitting in here this morning, and is your soul crying out for Jesus Christ? Or is your soul crying out for the things that you're going to be doing tomorrow in the world, or the next day, the next day? I remember when I was young, in church, I'd heard the gospel from my mother's knee, going to church, and I would go to church as a young person. And in the church, there was a great window there with squares in it. And I would count them one way, and then I would count them the other way. My mind wasn't really on what was being preached, was it? I can remember to this day, sitting in that pew, looking at that window, and I would count. I could tell you they were in squares, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And then I would count them the other way. My mind was on other things. Then once I'd finished that, I'd be thinking about what I was going to be doing the next day, or the next, that week. What was I going to be doing that week? You see, I wasn't feeding upon Jesus Christ. But what a change, you see, when perhaps I was thinking at that time that I'd be saved because I was going to church. I was, you know, wasn't like others, maybe. I was a decent kind of young lad. I wasn't doing all these other things that other young lads got up to, so I was alright. But then there's a day came, you see, when God, by God's grace, your purpose in going to church completely changes. You're not going to church because it's the done thing or it's custom. You go to church because, wait a minute, Christ is speaking here. Christ is being presented to you, and you discover that you're listening. And you discover that your soul is alive. And when you hear something that quickens your soul, you know you're feeding upon Jesus Christ. What a change. What a difference. What does it matter how many squares there are in a window? What does it matter what I'm going to be doing next week? I want to feed on Christ. Tell me more about Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you this, if I don't tell you any more. He is the water of life. Come. come ye ho, he says, everyone. Ho, everyone that thirsts. Come. Come to the waters and drink freely. And when you come there, he refreshes your soul. Don't labour for the things that will perish in this world. Don't labour for the things that you think will get you to heaven, because they will perish. But come and feed upon him who's the bread of life. Every Christian today answering this question, how many loaves do you have? You can say, I've sufficient for today. I've more than a sufficiency for tomorrow. I've got a sufficiency that will see me through this life and into eternity. Do you have that guarantee today? Do you have that promise that every day he will provide for your every need? Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy to us. We praise thy name that we have a gospel, the gospel of saving grace, the gospel that can be preached to every man, the gospel that can go forth from this place into the streets of Edinburgh, into Leith, into the homes of Leith. Lord, we pray that thou would bless the preaching of the gospel and the witness of this place. May it be that as there are those who would even pass by, that they would ask the way to Zion. Lord, by nature man is in a wilderness. He's in a desert place. Yet he doesn't know it. He feeds off the sand. He feeds off the poison that there is in the desert. And yet, O Lord, may it be that there would be many that would come to thirst and hunger, that would cry out for in desire, and may it be that they would come to know him who is the bread of life and the water of life. May it be that they would come to him that will satisfy the longing soul, that thy soul may delight itself in fatness. Bless us now, each one of us, as we leave this place. Undertake for us in the day that lie ahead. Be with each one of us and pardon us our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 132 and verse 13. Psalm 132 and verse 13. To the end of the psalm. For God of Zion hath made choice, there he desires to dwell. This is my rest, here still I'll stay, for I do like it well. Her food I'll greatly bless, her poor with bread will satisfy, her priests I'll clothe with health, her saints shall shout forth joyfully. Psalm 132 from verse 13 to the end of the psalm. For God of Zion hath made choice.
For God of Zion has begun,
following are the intimations. They are, God willing, the service this afternoon in Gallus Hughes at 3 p.m. and the service here again this evening at 6:30. Mr. Scott, who would normally take the service this afternoon, is unwell, and therefore there will be no Spanish service, sadly, this afternoon. And we pray that Mr. Scott will readily be improved in health and once again be among us. The prayer meeting is on Thursday at 7:30, and the services next Lord's Day, as you will see on the news sheet, are at the usual times. We thank Mr. Morrison, who has been with us over the last week, and going out on behalf of the congregation along with others. We thank Mr. Morrison for all his labours. We thank those who have helped him, and we pray that as he leaves us, he will leave with the Lord's blessing, and that the seed that has been sown will indeed bear fruit among the people of Leith. These are all the intimations that, God willing, will conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.